This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Congresswoman Lynn Jenkins, representing the 2nd Congressional District in the state of Kansas. She's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee. For the next couple of minutes, we want to get her thoughts on the financial reform debate, what she likes about the bill, what she doesn't like about the bill, and what she thinks ought to be in the bill that isn't there. We also want to get a little more insight on how this issue may help the Republicans shape their future agenda. And Congresswoman, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, we've seen the bill pass the House. That was a number of months ago. And then in the past few days, of course, it narrowly got past a Republican filibuster in the Senate. And now there are two versions that need to be reconciled. What's your sense on what's likely to come out of the conference here? How did you vote the first time, and what's your sense on what's coming out of the process?
Well, we took the financial reform issue to the floor back in November, I believe. It was late fall, and it's the Barney-Frank bill, and it was something that our committee had worked on for the greater part of 2009, and I think all Republicans were no on that piece of legislation. It is basically equated to the government takeover of our healthcare system. That bill was nothing short of a government takeover of our financial system. And the whole theory goes back to that arrogance that this administration has, that we're not smart enough to decide for ourselves how to pick our healthcare or how to choose our bank accounts and investments, that the federal government needs to do it for us. And the Senate, as usual, spent a little more time debating their bill, and it was passed, and a conference committee is being appointed and will work to reconcile those differences. I have not gotten clear through the Senate version. We are working our way through that, but it appears to be much worse even than the House version. And, you know, the overarching theme is, again, you know, I think the American people understand that we need financial reform, and Republicans on the House side had an alternative bill that we championed. But this is just not the way to do it. One of the things it creates is a whole other government agency, a Consumer Financial Protection Agency. Once again, we're not smart enough to choose for ourselves, so they'll protect us. At the heart of the problem with the markets were Freddie and Fannie. This bill, both versions, does nothing to address the issue of Freddie and Fannie. I think most economists have looked at it and said, you know, bank costs will increase, credit will be further restricted at a time when we want to get more credit out to Main Streets, to small businesses. Your cost of credit will increase. So we've got a lot of work to do. I've talked to a lot of constituents back home in this area, and they are fearful that their best ally on this conference committee is Barney Frank, not where they wanted to find themselves. So it's kind of a sad situation. But
Congresswoman, this is an issue that for a lot of people, a lot of the terms might be over their heads if they don't follow the financial markets regularly. But as you mentioned, it also has a great impact on small businesses. Talk a little bit more about what your constituents have said as they understand the legislation that is likely to emerge here will impact them on a day-to-day basis. You talked about credit. What other ways might this have a significant impact, either positive or negative?
Well, the issue of credit is the primary issue. If I heard about one issue more than all others, especially last year, it was from my small businesses in the heartland that could not access credit. The markets had just dried up. They had just operating loans that were being pulled, even though they'd never missed a payment or anything like that. And so we were frantically trying to do things to get credit on the street. And this bill does just the opposite. It further restricts that, and it seems kind of schizophrenic, but at the same time they're working on this bill. They've got another one that we just had a hearing on and worked last week on the House side, which allocates another pot of money. It's basically TARP Junior to make money available to lend. Well, all they need to do is, you know, get the federal government out of the lending business, stop the bailouts, the unlimited bailout authority that exists in this legislation, and small businesses will decide for themselves what they need to do and how they need to do it, working with their local community bankers, because, you know, this bill really punishes our hometown financial institutions, and they were not the ones that caused the problem. Again, I just think we need to back up here, be reminded what caused the blip, and address that, and not have all these other unintended consequences affecting, you know, our hometown financial institutions.
So do you believe there's a relatively simple approach here? You mentioned some principles of the GOP alternative from a number of months ago. Is this an issue in terms of providing access to credit for small business owners while also trying to make sure that the abuses of Wall Street don't happen again, certainly not to the extent they did a couple of years ago? Can be done relatively simply?
Absolutely, and it may be a situation much like the health care where we repeal and reform if given more balance of power in Washington after the next election cycle. You know, if we can focus on smart regulation rather than over-regulation, because obviously the regulation that was in place did not prevent the crisis, and so obviously some changes need to be made, but there I think is a underlying value on the Republican side that these unlimited bailouts have got to end. We cannot continue to be on the hook for every business that fails. And so I'm hopeful, yes, that we will get back to the right resolution of this issue.
Congresswoman, just about a minute left in our conversation here. This issue and other issues I know are going to be critical for the remainder of this congressional session, as well as the midterm elections coming up in November. Talk a little bit about this new effort that you and some other House Republicans are undertaking to get the input of the public in order to chart the course ahead.
Well, as a member of the Economic Recovery Working Group, which on the Republican side authored the alternative to the Democrat stimulus plan that wasn't so effective, we have launched a new initiative this week. It's called America Speaking Out. Folks can go online if they have online access to americaspeakingout.com. And basically it just addresses the issue of this arrogance in Washington that, you know, this current Democrat leadership has lost touch with folks. They're obviously not listening to them. While they didn't want the health care reform, they don't want this regulatory reform, they didn't want cap and trade, this administration is saying we know better than you do. And so we are trying to make an effort as Republicans to say, while we may have made mistakes in the past, we are here to tell you we are going to be listening to the American people. And folks can log on, share ideas with us, what they'd like to see changed or revised in Washington, in addition to the online forums. We will be doing town hall meetings. We will be doing teleconference calls with folks, just trying to reach out to America and give them a chance to tell us what we need to focus our efforts on.
Congresswoman, sounds like a busy road ahead. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, Greg, thanks for having me.
Congresswoman Lynn Jenkins represents the 2nd Congressional District in the state of Kansas. She's a member of the House Financial Services Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.